And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. In November of last year, the VA Access, Choice, and Accountability Act went into effect. It's a new law that allows veterans with a longer than 30-day wait or more than 40-mile distance to go to non-VA hospitals for their care if they wish. But some think that isn't enough, particularly when it comes to mental health care. Iowa freshman Senator Joni Ernst proposed legislation to eliminate those requirements for veterans with mental health issues. That in her first speech on the floor of the U.S. Senate a few weeks ago. This half hour, we want to talk about barriers to mental health care for veterans. And joining us, first of all, Mark Brooks. He's a Vietnam veteran who has struggled to gain access to mental health care for over 10 years. He's a veteran of the Air Force, 22 years in the Air Force, I believe lives now in Carlisle, south of Des Moines. Mark Brooks, welcome to our program. Thank you for the service to our country and for having the courage to be on this program to talk about mental health care and veterans.
Well, if a veteran out there who is struggling, you know, will at least seek some help. I just want to mention off the top, if I may, we have vet centers here in Iowa. That's been my lifeline. There's one in Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, of course, Omaha, Quad Cities, and Sioux City. Mm-hmm. Also, the Veterans Crisis Line, that's available for veterans or those concerned about a veteran. And that number is 1-800-273-8255. And then press 1 to talk to someone.
Mm-hmm. Let's use it. Mm-hmm. Mark, I wonder, can we talk a little bit about your situation? Because I think your experiences really illustrate some of the problems going on here. Can you start us off by telling us when and what indications you had of you might need mental health care?
Well, my wife would tell you when I came home from overseas. But actually, it wasn't until after I separated from the military and we got back here to Iowa, and I basically in the late 80s, or I'm sorry, the late 90s, it started coming to fore: anxiety, panic, crowds started driving me crazy. I was at a loss. I sought care in the civilian sector. Mm-hmm. And finally in 2002, after I was laid off from my job, I filed a claim for PTSD with the VA.
Okay. So you said you sought a civilian treatment. Did you initially seek treatment from a VA medical center?
No, sir. I did not. I did seek, or I've been in and out of the Veterans Center here in Des Moines. Like I said, that's been my lifeline. And that's where I get most of my counseling needs from. I'm comfortable there. I don't know if I would be comfortable changing that scene.
Right, right. I think we have to make the distinction, don't we, Mark, that a vet center we are talking about is for counseling, and there are medical veterans hospitals as well. So those are two different things. And you're talking about what is called a vet center where you get counseling, you meet with therapists and so forth.
Correct.
Okay. Now, have you been diagnosed by the VA in medical terms as having post-traumatic stress syndrome?
Yes, I have.
How long did that diagnosis take? What was the work there?
It took, again, when I was laid off in 2002 and I filed my initial claim, I was going to the vet center, and they managed to get me into the mental health clinic there, where I was seeing a psychiatrist who was prescribing medications. Now, I had to get those on the outside. I couldn't get them through the VA. Well, I could have gotten them through the VA, I suppose, but it was easier for me to use the outside system.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
That was my access.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sorry.
Mark Brooks is with us, a veteran of 22 years, has suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome. We're talking about barriers to mental health care for vets in this country, in Iowa. The VA has been reeling we've listened to our news from last year's revelations that officials at agency medical centers have manipulated patient records to hide long wait times for care. In November, the VA's chief consultant for mental health said the average wait time for a mental health appointment was 36 days. Now joining us, Alicia Karakiri. She is the distinguished Iowa State University Distinguished Professor of Statistics, also chair of an 18-person committee in charge of a congressionally mandated study of the use and effectiveness of the Department of Veterans Affairs mental health care services for recent veterans. Alicia Karakiri, Professor Karakiri, welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me, Ben, and good morning to Mr. Brooks.
Can you give us some more background about the context for your study, which is 2 years into a four-year study, and what you were called on to do?
Yes. So, as you mentioned, the Veterans Administration has been under some scrutiny for various reasons. In particular, for there have been several questionable practices regarding mental health providers in the VA, and there was the Congress mandated that the VA carry out an in-depth study of its mental health services to veterans and also investigate why some veterans are not taking advantage of mental health services at the VA. So the National Academy of Sciences set up this panel. I have the honor of chairing the panel. Other committee members include statisticians, psychiatrists, psychologists, psychiatric nurses, sociologists, demographers, several other people. And our charge is to do a comprehensive assessment of the quality, the capacity, and the access to mental health services for veterans. We're only focusing on veterans of Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom, and Operation New Dawn. So this is since 2001. Also to investigate what are the barriers to access for veterans that need the services, would like to use the services, and are currently not using those services.
Mm-hmm. Let me get your answer so far in that study, but turning first to Mark Brooks as a veteran, how would you answer that question, Mark, your observations about the barriers that keeping fellow veterans from getting access to mental health care at the VA?
My impression, or my experience rather, is that while I could get access, again, I had to kind of use it as a back door. I didn't have a diagnosis of PTSD at that time, but I did get access to it for medication monitoring. So, I mean, I don't know if I'm unique in that regard, but it took some time to make that happen. I don't recall. I mean, my gracious, that was a long time ago.
Right, right. You mean it took some time in terms of bureaucratic hoops you had to jump through or waiting time or what?
It was in order for me to get my, we're talking apples, something else here. And I don't want to get into the hoops I had to jump through to get my claim approved. But as far as once I got into the system, I found that I could access most things. Now, some things I couldn't. For example, group therapy. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have a diagnosis, I couldn't attend group therapy. Okay?
Right. Let me turn to Alicia to tell us what you're finding among all vets in terms of why they're not seeking this or why they're not getting the mental health care.
Well, I cannot share still results from our own study because it's ongoing and we're just now on the field collecting data. But a couple of things that I can tell you is that Mr. Brooks is fortunate to be in Iowa in that the Iowa wait times at the VA is about half of what the national waiting times are. Not that I'm saying that they're perfect, but they're the Iowa VA system does pretty well. Relative to the larger system. What has been found, I mean, there's a lot of literature, many things that are known in terms of what constitute barriers to accessing mental health care. There's the obvious ones like distance to mental health facilities. Not everybody lives close to a VA hospital. And so there's issues about transportation, getting there, finding somebody to leave the kids with, and so on. I was New programs like the New Choice program, of course, make life a little easier. But the devil is in the details. You know, you were talking about this, Ben, a little earlier, where you were saying that under the new program, if you live 40 miles, less than 40 miles, sorry, more than 40 miles away from a VA facility, you can actually access care through private providers. But this is as the crow flies, 40 miles as the crow flies. And I don't know many veterans who fly. And so, for example, I was in communication with a World War II veteran here in Ames, who doesn't qualify because he lives as a crow flies 27 miles from the next VA hospital in Des Moines. But, you know, he has to drive, and he is finding it very hard to get to his appointments. He's getting old, his wife is getting old. And so there's a lot of details that need to be ironed.
What about the issue of stigma? Is that an issue, especially with veterans who are taught to be tough and to perform in all kinds of circumstances?
Yes, there is perceived stigma and there's real stigma. Some veterans perceive that they will be stigmatized if they seek mental health help because, you know, you come from the soldier culture. You're supposed to be this macho man, and I don't say this derogatory, but you know, you're supposed to be strong and defending the country and so on. And there's, you know, there's the fright of being perceived as weak, not being able to carry and use arms, and so there's a lot of perceived stigma. There's real stigma in that. You know, you hear about veterans that have talked to supervisors and receive from their supervisors advice such as, "Oh, come on, soldier up. Don't be such a weenie." And so there's, you know, there's a little bit of misunderstanding of what these mental health issues really are.
Mark Brooks, have you felt that stigma? Was it difficult the first time to turn to get mental health care, try to navigate the VA or other civilian health cares?
Yes, primarily because, like the doctor said, it attacks, or you're basically looking at a perception of yourself. You know that you're the tough guy. You know you're the guy with the big red S on your chest. Okay, being a career NCO, that didn't help. But at a point, I finally realized, you know, I've got, you know, regardless of whatever stigma someone else may perceive, and that's their problem, not mine. Okay, then you know, I had to do something because it was, you know, it was impacting my life,
Right.
my ability to work,
Back to
my
the
relationship with family, and so on.
back to
Sorry
the
about that.
back to the issue of how the VA has performed for you in providing mental health care. Were you ever denied health care, mental health care from a VA facility?
No, not yet.
But
I was
you had to get the
pitted.
diagnosis to get in the door, it sounds like.
Correct. That's the thing. And that's why the vet centers were so important to me. That was my avenue to work, you know, on trying to get better, to be learning how learn how to deal with the symptoms that my PTSD manifest.
Professor Karakiri, at the outset, Mark Brooks reached out to other veterans to make them aware of the vet centers, the resources available to veterans in Iowa. Is it a problem that veterans don't even know these services are available, or that they have the right to use them?
Yes, there's a lot of veterans that are unaware of the type of privileges they have with the VA. I listened to Mr. Brooke's story, and I'm, you know, I'm sitting here nodding my head. Of course, things have changed for the more recent veterans. If you automatically have full services at the VA for the first 5 years after separation. Now, this is important because PTSD not necessarily manifests itself immediately while in service or immediately after separation. So this could this is something, and I'm again listening to Mr. Brooks, this sounds very familiar. This is something that develops, that may develop quite a few years after separation from the military. And so veterans from the more current wars, from the more recent wars, have 5 automatic years of services of no questions asked, hopefully access to the type of care they need. And I think providers and everybody are much more aware that these mental health issues are serious and more prevalent. In the time when the Vietnam veterans were coming home, this was not something that was spoken about so much as it is today. And so there's a lot of awareness that has happened. And
I wonder, in those first 5 years, do veterans need to prove that their mental health problems are tied to their service?
No. So the veterans have to show up at the VA. They have to enroll, of course. So there's some, you know, there's paperwork. There's bureaucracy. But once you enroll, you have access to, and typically the veteran will see a primary care physician to begin with. But the primary care physician then within the VA is going to be able to either direct the veteran to mental health services or to whatever it is that the veteran should be going to.
At the outset, I mentioned that our freshman Republican Senator Joni Ernst has proposed legislation that would allow military veterans to get mental health care outside the Veterans Affairs system until they receive help from the agency. Professor Karakiri, what is your reaction to that in light of the fact that you're 2 years into a 4-year study on this very topic?
Again, you know, like I said earlier, the devil is in the details. There is some of that already through the choice plan, where if you don't live close to a facility, you can get the care outside. But regardless of whatever the legislation may say, veterans still need to enroll in the VA. So you have to start from the VA. I don't know how it would work if you go receive care elsewhere and then request reimbursement from the VA. I have no idea. And the issue is that many veterans don't have the wherewithal to pay for their care until somebody picks up the tab. So I'm not sure what the details of that legislation is going to be.
Are you looking also into, in your 4-year study, the distrust that many veterans have of the Veterans Administration?
Yes, that's the other thing. You know, even if you offer the very most wonderful system, there's simply some veterans that will not put their trust on anything that's government associated. So that's, you know, that's a very hard one to overcome, I think, for the VA or for anybody else. But yes, there's those people too.
Mm-hmm. Mark Brooks, do you find that among your veteran friends, the contacts that you have, a distrust of this government institution?
Yes, I do. I do see that. I do hear that from fellow veterans.
What's the basis? What's the basis of that? The experience, or
I think it is. You know, we all hear the bad experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're televised. They're in the paper. You know, actually, I have gotten nothing less than excellent health care and mental health care at the VA facility here in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I mean, I know that kind of cuts against the meme, but you know, that's my experience. I'm very satisfied with my care there. You know, but it's the stuff that we hear in the paper. The bureaucracy, I think, is probably the mm-hmm. thing that drives most veterans crazy.
Right.
Because, you know, the paperwork is so daunting. And if you don't have someone that can help you with it, you're lost. You're going to get lost in the shuffle.
Mm. Professor Karakiri, we have about a minute left. Speak to that, or where that would simplifying the bureaucracy, I guess, is a perhaps one thing that might help. But yeah, better easier to say than do, huh?
Yes, don't we all wish? But I want to commend Mr. Brooks. It's true that most veterans that actually use the VA are pretty satisfied. So you hear all the really horror stories, and there are many. But overall, there's 9 million enrollees in the Veterans Affairs at this moment out of 21 million veterans that are alive, 22 million. Many people don't have a need to use the VA because they have, other providers for healthcare and mental health care through their employers or what have you. But of the 9 million that use the VA, most data show that a vast majority of them are very satisfied with the services they receive.
Okay, thank you very much, Alicia Karakiri, Iowa State University Distinguished Professor of Statistics, also chair of an 18-person committee in charge of a congressionally mandated 4-year study of the use and effectiveness of the Department of Veterans Affairs mental health care services for recent veterans. Thank you very much, Professor Karakiri.
Thank you for having me.
And especially thanks to Mark Brooks, our veteran of 22 years, for sharing his struggle to gain access to mental health care. Mark Brooks, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Tomorrow on this program, of course, it's a News Buzz edition of River to River. We'll have a number of items, a handful of items, as I always like to wrap up the week with. Also a preview of the new exhibits in the University of Iowa Mobile Museum tomorrow, and a preview of the musical talent at this year's 8035 Festival in the summer. River to River is produced by Claire Roth, Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, and also thanks to Julia Davis. Jason Burns helped us out in Ames. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.